Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Dr. Donna Bakke is here. Good morning, Dr. Bakke.
Good morning.
And welcome back. Dr. Bakke is chair of Upstate's Department of Public Health and Preventive Medicine. And we're here to cover our next topic in public health today. And this is a big one. What is our topic this morning?
Dental health.
Dental health. This is something that absolutely applies to everyone who's listening, doesn't it?
It does.
And in many ways, not just through their mouth or through their bodies, but through their pockets as well.
Correct.
Absolutely. Let's talk about, I want to go back to an original conversation you and I had about public health many months ago. We were talking about different issues in public health, and one of the big wins you mentioned for public health in general was getting fluoride put in the water. So let's start there. Talk about fluoride in the water.
Yes, that was one of the biggest accomplishments of the last century. Prior to having fluoride in the water, people would have significant numbers of cavities. Once we put fluoride in the water, the number of cavities per person has significantly reduced.
And significantly in that we don't look at cavities the same way we ever did, say, when we were kids.
That's right.
Not at all. I can remember, I went to Syracuse City Schools. I can remember lining up in the nurse's office, and I know a lot of our listeners are going to go, oh my gosh, I'd forgotten about that. They would put these big metal rigs in our mouths and then paint our teeth with fluoride. And that must have been before there was fluoride in the water.
That was. And then, through investigation, they found that actually that simple act of putting fluoride in water that didn't have fluoride could get enough fluoride to the masses, to individuals, because we drink water or cook with water, that we would get a significant amount and that would be enough to prevent cavities.
Well, I actually have two questions about that. What happens when somebody doesn't use the public water supply? Maybe they have a well.
Well, if they have a well, they really have to get it checked, because actually some wells could have a significantly higher amount of fluoride, and that can cause problems like fluorosis, which is white lines on the teeth, particularly in children who are developing their teeth if they're drinking that water. The other one is bottled water. Bottled water doesn't have the recommended amount of fluoride in it, so the recommendation is to not make, particularly for infants, make the infant formula if you're giving them formula with bottled water.
And that was actually my second question. Then what about people who aren't using the public water supply in general, using bottled water? Because there's not fluoride. There aren't additives in that bottled water at all.
No, not in most bottled waters. But usually people cook with fluoridated water, so they should be getting enough through cooking if they're making things.
How can we know if we're getting enough, or how can we know if we're getting too much? Is there a way to measure?
There really isn't a way you can easily measure it. Mm-hmm. Certainly if you're getting too much, people who have, when they were younger, will have white lines on their teeth, and that's how you know. If you're not getting enough, you may be having more cavities than you should.
And are there other ways to boost the amount of fluoride you're getting to help your teeth?
Well, we now have fluoridated toothpaste.
That's
and
true.
So that's an additional way. The one caution I would recommend to parents out there is that we really don't recommend using fluoridated toothpaste for children under the age of 2, and a very small amount, less than a pea-sized amount, for children under the age of 5, because they often swallow it. They don't spit it out. And so they could actually ingest it and get more fluoride than they need.
And I guess that would be the next question, is what happens if you get too much? Now, you mentioned the white lines that somebody gets on their teeth. Do they get sick? Is there...
It's really difficult to get too much. There aren't that many diseases that I know of that you can really get from having too much fluoride.
So this goes back then to when babies are born, we're giving them formula. If they're not breastfeeding, you're giving them formula. Parents should be mixing that with just regular tap water?
Yes, if they feel, if they're concerned about it, they could boil the water, like
sure,
our parents used to do. But regular tap water is fine.
And would the boiling boil away the fluoride?
Not usually, because it's an element.
It is. Okay. Now you're getting into science that I truly do not understand. All right. Well, let's continue then talking about babies and small children. We're talking about brushing their teeth. Certainly, they need to be brushing their teeth as soon as they have teeth, of course. And you said that they should or should not be using...
They should not
toothpaste?
Be using fluoridated toothpaste in babies, children under the age of 2, and only a small amount of fluoridated toothpaste under the age of 5. The other thing that parents probably know out there, you've seen babies who have a lot of cavities in their mouth, and that's because they've been given a lot of sugary drinks when they're in their bottle when they're younger. Infants should not be given juice in bottles. They shouldn't be drinking juice on a large scale until they're at least a year of age, when they could be drinking it from a sippy cup.
Well, the problem with bottles, if I understand it, is that when they suck the liquid through the bottle, then that's staying in their mouths for a period of time before they're swallowing all of it.
Right.
So that's where the cavities would come from.
Right, then? Because we have bacteria in the mouth that like to feed on sugar.
Sure.
So certainly, particularly if you're putting your baby to bed with a bottle in their mouth, and letting them suck on that bottle, that sugar stays there all night. So the best thing to do is to feed the child and then burp them and put them to bed without any bottle in their mouth. Or if they have to suck on something, a bottle with water in it.
You know, parents are going to say to you, yes, but my child's going to lose all those baby teeth, so what does it matter?
Well, because they still are developing their teeth, and any inflammation, anything that's going on in their mouth may potentially affect those developing teeth.
Sure, and not only that, I would think that as soon as they begin to break through the gum just a little tiny bit, you're affecting them no matter what.
Right.
No matter what's in their mouth. Now, you mentioned bacteria in the mouth. That's natural. We should have bacteria in our mouth,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is. But the problem is, if we don't brush our teeth, a lot of that sugar will stay on the teeth, and then those bacteria will feed on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's normal to have the bacteria. Some of it is protective, but you don't want it. Eat a lot of foods that have a lot of sugar, and then not brush your teeth, because that's when you may potentially have cavities.
Absolutely. So the bacteria that is there and it's supposed to be there is actually creating that many more problems once you leave something in your mouth for too long.
Yes.
And of course, you know, then you have the whole thing about when you don't brush your teeth, you have bad breath, and bad breath can cause its own problems, can't it?
Yes.
That's just antisocial, if nothing else. But sometimes bad breath, of course, can be caused by other problems in
right.
the body as well. So it's not always from the teeth. You know, it's interesting, in the last few years, we've started to hear about studies that have been done that perhaps bad dental health is also leading to additional health problems. Let's talk about some of those.
Yes, well, there's been some association with heart disease. If you don't brush your teeth and you don't floss your teeth regularly, you could get inflammation in your gums.
Mm-hmm.
That inflammation can then go to other places in your body, or could have your body could be reacting to that inflammation, which then reacts to other places, certainly like the heart.
And how does that work into, I mean, I know that people have gum problems. They have inflammation in their gums. Their gums may be bleeding.
Right.
There could be those kinds of problems. Is it a problem with an introduction of bacteria into the bloodstream, or is it a problem with the inflammation? How would it spread to other parts of the body?
Well, it's your body naturally responding to that area that's inflamed, just like when you get a cut. Your reaction goes to that cut, and you'll see a redness, and
sure.
you'll see a swelling. Well, there are certain elements in your body that react to inflammation, and then they can be carried through the bloodstream to other places and then react there also.
You know, I read recently, too, that they're looking now, and we don't have any studies to cite this morning, but they're also looking at associations with osteoporosis, with diabetes. Where would diabetes, can you figure out where that would come from?
Well, diabetes, if it's not controlled, can cause problems in the bloodstream, can cause inflammation, and so it can also affect your dental health.
I would think so, and especially when you're talking about the sugars and the bacteria's reacting, I can see where that would cause problems mm-hmm. for people with diabetes as well. Let's shift now to the bigger picture. Certainly, dental health is a public health problem as an individual, and I can see where individuals, if they aren't taking care of their teeth, they can run into individual health problems. But there's a bigger picture problem here too, and that is the cost. And that's a cost that most of us are paying out of our pockets. Unless we have an employer who might be helping us a little bit, we aren't insured the same way, are we?
No. It usually, some employers will provide dental health, or you have to purchase it for you or your family.
But even then, you don't get much coverage.
No, you don't. You may get a cleaning year, which is very important,
mm-hmm.
and may get maybe something off on any work that has to be done.
Mm-hmm.
But most people don't have access to that. And I think access to dental care in almost every community in this country is very poor, particularly for people who don't have money. And if you couple that with the fact that they may not have the money to eat right and eat healthy, eat fruits and vegetables, eat things that are going to keep their body generally healthy, and then don't get their regular checkups, they can then develop significant problems.
Absolutely. And then I look at the rates of soft drinks that are being consumed, and that really has nothing to do with how much money somebody makes or how much they can devote to their health care. If they're drinking those soft drinks and stopping for fast food all the while that's also full of sugar, even if it doesn't taste sugary, it's got to be leading to a bigger and bigger problem.
It is. And that's the concern. I think the public health concern is the fact that we have a large population of people who have don't have access to regular dental care.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not being able to have their teeth taken care of. They potentially can't afford to buy floss to floss their teeth. They may not even know about it because dental education, even though children get a little bit of it in school, most people don't really realize what they need to do to keep their teeth healthy.
And, you know, flossing isn't something we were taught to do as kids. I mean, flossing, it seems to me, has just come around in maybe the last 10 or 20 years.
Well, it's always been there, but certainly I think the need to do it has gotten more prevalent.
Yeah.
People are more recognizing.
Well, sure, especially as we're eating more sugary foods. And then I look at this bigger picture. If what we know is now there are some ties to heart disease and maybe these other diseases, osteoporosis and diabetes, if we're not taking care of our teeth, down the road we're going to have that many more people that have these bigger diseases. That becomes a potential huge expense for the population in general. Very good. Well, Dr. Donabaki, have we missed anything talking about dental health this morning?
I don't think so.
I think we've done a pretty good job of covering it. It's one more in public health, one more topic in public health that I think affects all of us. And I thank you so much for coming by this morning to explain it to us.
Thank you.
And listeners, we do need to take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments. This is Upstate's HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.